gang frelst, altid frelst. Ja, det er rigtigt. Jeg siger, at man kan synde og komme bort fra Jesus og miste troen på ham.
Okay, jeg er nødt til at oversætte det undervejs. Yeah. So Ruth has a question about once saved, always saved. Mm. She says you can sin and fall away from the faith in the Lord. Is that right? Er der mere til spørgsmålet?
Nej, ellers kommer det. Altså, jeg har en henvisning til Hebræerne 6.
Yeah, she has a reference to Hebrews 6.
4. Mm.
Ja, lad os slå op. Må jeg låne en dansk bibel?
Så har du 4, og så har du nogle vers fra.
Okay, jeg læser lige fra Hebræerne 6. Fra vers 4 af Hebrews 6 from verses 4, she says.
Okay.
For det er muligt, det er umuligt at føre dem til ny omvendelse, som en gang er blevet oplyst og har smagt den himmelske gave, dem som har fået Helligånden og smagt Guds gode ord og den kommende verdens kræfter, og som så falder fra, for de korsfester selv Guds søn igen og gør ham til spot. For når en mark drikker den regn, der falder på den i rigelig mængde og giver afgrøde til gavn for dem, den dyrkes for, så får den velsignelse fra Gud. Men bærer den tørn og tissel, er den intet værd og truet af forbandelse, og det vil ende med, at man afbrænder den. Vi er dog overbevist om, at det står bedre til med jer i kære, og at frelsen venter jer, selvom vi taler, som vi gør. Så stopper jeg der. So that was to including verse 9.
Okay. There are many passages in the Bible.
Der er mange passager i Guds ord.
Like in Romans there.
For eksempel der i Romerbrevet.
All over really in John's Gospel.
Også i Johannes evangeliet.
That tell us if a believer is truly saved.
Der fortæller at hvis en troende virkelig er frelst,
then God will keep him to the end.
Så vil Gud bevare dem til enden.
He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Han som har begyndt sin gerning i jer vil fuldføre den indtil Jesu Kristi dag.
If it doesn't carry on, then God didn't complete it in the first place.
Hvis ikke det fortsætter, så just say it again.
If it seems like someone started but they don't finish, then God didn't begin it in the first place.
Hvis det ser ud som om at Gud begyndte det, men at de ikke fortsætter, så er det ikke Gud der begyndte til at starte med.
Yeah, we have that passage there in Romans 8, 28-30.
Vi har den passage der i Rombrevet 8, 28-30.
Romans 8, 28-30. I'll cover Hebrews 6, by the way, in a moment.
Vi står op i Rombrevet 8.
Yeah.
28-30.
For God is working all things for our good.
Vi ved, at alt virker sammen til gode for dem, der elsker Gud.
Yeah, for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose,
som efter hans beslutning er kaldet.
And he tells us in the next verse he's predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son.
Han fortæller i verset bagefter at han har forudbestemt dem til at formes efter sin søns billede.
Yeah, that we might become the firstborn of many brethren. Or that he might become, sorry.
Ja, så at han er den førstefødte blandt mange brødre.
Yeah, you see, we're told there why God predestined us.
Derfor vide hvorfor Gud han har forudbestemt os.
To be like Jesus Christ.
For at være ligesom Jesus Kristus.
To glorify Christ.
For at herliggøre Kristus.
You know, I was saying this the other day. I hear a lot of sermons on predestination that are just academic.
Jeg hører en masse prædikener om forudbestemmelser som bare er akademiske.
And they forget to tell us what we've been predestined for.
Og de glemmer at fortælle hvad det er at vi er forudbestemt til.
They get into an argument about always being saved or losing your salvation, and they end up forgetting what we've been predestined for.
Ja, de diskuterer nogle forskellige ting, og så glemmer de, hvad det er, det handler om.
Okay, and then he tells us, he speaks of for those whom he foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, glorified.
Ja, og så står der i vers 30, dem han forud har bestemt har han også kaldet, og dem han har kaldet har han også gjort retfærdig, og dem han har gjort retfærdig har han også herliggjort.
Yeah, predestined means he destined the outcome beforehand.
Forudbestemmelse betyder at han har besluttet hvad udfaldet skal være på forhånd.
Yeah. I mean, you can we have a lottery in England. Let's say someone fixed it.
Prøv at forestille dig et lotteri i England, hvor at nogen på forhånd havde besluttet hvordan det skulle være.
They fixed someone would win the jackpot of however many millions, and they gave such a person these numbers.
Yeah, så de har besluttet hvem det er der skal få de rigtige numre for at vinde den store pulje.
You see, they've destined the outcome beforehand.
De har besluttet udfaldet allerede.
Now that can go wrong, can't it, with the human sense?
Det kan godt gå galt i menneskeligt.
The person could lose the ticket or even die before.
Personen kunne miste sit nummer, selvom det var det vindende nummer, eller dø.
Yeah, but obviously God predestined everything. It's not going to go wrong.
Men når Gud han forudbestemmer noget, så går det ikke galt.
Because especially when it says that God is working all things for our good.
Fordi der står jo at alting virker sammen til gode for dem.
Yeah,
elsker Gud.
You see, the all things that God is working for the believers good there for those whom he's predestined.
Just say that again.
The all things that God is working for our good.
Alle, altså, der hvor der står alle de ting som virker til gode for dem der elsker Gud.
Well, he's not doing that for all people.
Han gør det ikke det for alle mennesker.
He's doing that for the people who are called according to his purpose.
Han gør det for dem som er kaldet efter hans beslutning.
Yeah. Those in this plan.
Dem som er i hans plan.
God had a plan, he had a purpose, we're told there, that he would save.
Han havde en plan, han havde et formål, han ville frelse mennesker.
And so God, the all things there really means all things.
At når der står at alt virker sammen, så er det betyder det alt.
It doesn't just mean God's working trials and tribulations for our good.
Det er ikke kun at det er trængsler eller svære ting der virker til gode for os.
It means every event and circumstance in our life.
Det betyder
God is working for good.
Alle omstændigheder i vores liv, det bruger det Gud til det gode for os.
It doesn't mean the things are good in and of themselves.
Det betyder ikke at tingene i sig selv er gode.
But God somehow uses even bad things for our good.
Men på en måde så bruger Gud selv det som kan være dårligt til vores bedste.
Even our sins and our failures, God still uses for our good.
Selv vores fejltagelser, vores synder bruger Gud til det bedste for os.
What is the good there?
Hvad er det gode
der? It's not that we be comfortable, is it?
It's what?
It's not that we be comfortable. That we comfortable.
Det er ikke det at være bekvemmelig.
The good is not that we have no trials.
Det gode er ikke at vi ingen trængsler har.
But he'll use trials, our failures, all things for our good.
Trængsler og svigt fra vores side, alle ting til vores bedste.
The good in the context there is bringing us to final salvation, bringing us to glory.
Yeah, I'll just say that again.
Bringing us to final salvation, bringing us to glory.
Formålet med det er at bringe os til endelig frelse.
The good is he will use all things to conform us to the image of his son, verse 29.
Ja, og han vil bruge de her ting til at vi skal ligne hans søn.
He'll use all things to make us like Jesus.
Så vi kan ligne Jesus.
Which is preparing us for final glory.
Hvilket forbereder os til den her herlighed.
You see, think of this in the example of Peter's life.
Prøv at forestille dig det her eksempel i Peters liv.
Do you remember when Peter he was boasting, even if all others deny you, I will never deny you.
Peter prallede selv, hvis alle andre svigter dig, så svigter jeg dig aldrig.
And of course, Jesus said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.
Men Jesus sagde til ham, før han gælder tre gange, så har du fornægtet mig.
Now we are told there that he said, Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat.
Ja, vi får at vide, at Satan har, hvad er det nu, der står?
Sigtet,
ja.
Ja.
Som ved for at hvad kan I huske det? Nej, jeg kan ikke lige huske det præcis.
Satan has asked for you, may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Men jeg har bedt for at sige Jesus, at jeres tro ikke må svigte.
Now we see a truth there that we also see in the book of Job.
Vi ser en sandhed der, som vi også ser i Jobs bog.
That Satan can only cause a believer to stumble, only if God permits it.
Vi kan se i der Jobs bog, at Gud tillader kun, at en troende kan snuble og falde, kun hvis Gud tillader det.
Ja, yeah, you know, only a bad thing can come upon us if God permits it.
Kun dårlige ting der kan komme til os, hvis Gud tillader det.
Now, look what happened there. In that situation, Jesus let Peter fall flat on his face.
I den situation der, der tillod Jesus Peter at falde ned på sit ansigt.
But he did it for his good.
Men han gjorde det for Peters bedste.
In order to humble Peter.
For at ydmyge Peter.
And strip him of his pride.
For at tage hans stolthed væk.
And the more humble you are, the more like Christ you are.
Jo mere ydmyg du er, jo mere ligesom Kristus er du.
So, but he worked even that bad thing, that bad denial where he was cursing and blaspheming, even his sin there and failure. The Lord used it for his good.
Så selv der hvor Peter han svigtede Herren og han nærmest forbandede ham, det brugte Jesus også til hans bedste.
Yeah, so if God is working, I mean, I've heard it described like the old fashioned watch where you see the dials inside or the old fashioned clocks. You see the round things, the inside the mechanisms.
Yeah, hvis I forestiller et ur med en mekanisme indeni.
Yeah, and some are going in the opposite direction.
Og så der en del der går den anden vej.
But they all are connected together, so they're used to get that clock going round one way.
Men når man ser det i sin helhed, så prøver de forskellige tandhjuls retning så helheden til at fungere.
Well, God works all situations in the Christian's life like that.
Så på samme måde så bruger Gud også alle de ting der sker i vores liv til vores bedste.
Even bad things that people or Satan trying to take us away from God.
Selv der hvor Satan måske prøver at tage os væk fra Gud.
Like in that example of Peter there, God overrules it and uses it for our good ultimately to bring us to God.
Ja, selv for eksempel der i Peters situation, der bruger Gud det ultimativt til at bringe os nærmere til at ligne Kristus og vores frelse.
And that verse is really a test of salvation.
Og det vers, det er virkelig en prøvesten for om frelse.
Paul says that and we know all things work.
Og vi ved at alle ting virker.
You know, we know this by experience. He appeals to their experience there.
Han appellerer faktisk til deres egen erfaring.
Yeah. So, you know, is God using all things in our lives to draw us closer to Christ, to bring us closer to him?
Bruger Gud alle de her ting til at at få os nærmere ham selv?
You know, the Bible speaks of a rocky ground here.
Bibelen taler om en der har hørt evangeliet ligesom en jord med klipper i klippegrund.
Who is prepared to follow Christ when all things are going well?
Som er klar til at følge Kristus når alt ting går godt.
But when trials come, they fall away.
Men når der kommer trængsel, så falder de fra.
Well, you know that they're the biggest test. You know when trials come, does God? I mean, people may not be able to understand a trial at the time.
Det kan godt være, at vi ikke forstår frelsen, eller hvad hedder det, fristelsen eller trængslen lige med det samme.
Men when you stand back later,
men senere,
you know, can someone see how God kept me in that trial or he drew me closer?
Så kan man se, at hvordan Gud han lod mig holde ud af den situation og dragede mig nærmere ham.
Yeah, even our, you know, even when we fall, ultimately we'll see when we look back.
Når vi falder og vi ser tilbage,
we over time we see God humbling us.
Så kan vi se at Gud han ydmyger os.
And he does many things to strip us of our pride.
Han gør mange ting for at tage stolthed væk fra os.
You know, we can look at many failings in our past. How God has stripped me of pride.
Jeg kan se tilbage i mit eget liv og se hvordan Gud han har taget meget stolthed væk fra mig i forskellige situationer.
To make us more like Jesus.
For at lave os mere ligesom Jesus.
Well, here's the point with Romans 8:28-30.
Her er pointen med Romerbrevet kapitel 8:28-30.
Yeah, God had a plan, a purpose, we're told.
Gud, vi får videre, Gud han har et formål og en plan.
He predestined the outcome beforehand.
Han har forudbestemt udfaldet.
You know that a people would be called. He predestined that they would be called to salvation at a point in time, justified and glorified.
Ja, vi får videre på et tidspunkt i historien, der vil de blive kaldet, retfærdiggjort.
Yeah, well, nothing can thwart this plan of God.
Der er ingenting, der kan ødelægge den her plan, som Gud har.
Because God is working all things to make this plan to come to pass.
Fordi Gud virker alle ting for at det her formål af hans, at det må blive virkelighed.
Our sins and our failures can't stop this plan of God coming to pass.
Vores synd og vores fejltagelser, det kan ikke stoppe Guds plan.
Because God is going to use those things for our good to make this plan of God come to pass.
Fordi Gud han vil også bruge de ting.
You know, our trials can't make this come to pass.
Vores trængsler kan heller ikke forhindre
det her. Can't stop it coming to pass, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if our trials, God's going to use to humble us and make us more like Jesus.
Ja, Gud vil også bruge vores trængsler til at ydmyge os, og så vi må ligne Jesus mere.
And everything in our life there, he says that for those whom he foreknew, he predestined.
Fordi der står, at alle dem han forud har kendt.
People try to explain this away today.
Mange mennesker, de prøver at bortforklare det.
They say all foreknew means the ones he had foreknowledge of.
De siger, at det er dem, som Gud han kendte, eller han havde en forudviden om.
They say you may have heard this interpretation. They say God, he looked down the corridors of time.
I måske se den her fortolkning, at ligesom Gud han ser ned igennem historien, hvad der vil ske.
And he saw who would choose him, and so he picked those people based on that he knew they would choose the gospel.
Så han så hvem der var der ville vælge at høre evangeliet og tro, og så udvalgte han så dem.
But foreknew there for those whom God foreknew can't mean those whom God simply just had foreknowledge of.
Men det er ikke det betyder her.
Because if it means that, then if God predestined those whom he had foreknowledge of,
fordi hvis Gud udvalgte dem han havde forudviden om,
God had foreknowledge of everybody.
Gud han har forudvidenhed om alle ting, om alle mennesker.
So that would mean he predestined everybody. We know that's not true.
Så vil det betyde at han havde forudbestemt alles.
And if you look how that word is used elsewhere in the Bible.
Vi ser hvordan det ord er brugt andre steder i Bibelen.
Foreordained.
Forudbestemt, foreordineret.
Yeah, like Christ was foreordained to be the Lamb. God foreordained Christ to be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world.
Gud foreordineret eller forudbestemt at Kristus skulle være det lam som skulle tage verdens synder bort.
Now when it says God the Father foreordained Christ to be the savior there.
Når der står at Gud Fader forudbestemmer at synden skal være frelseren.
Does that mean God looked down the corridors of time and he saw that Christ would die for people's sins so he picked him to do that?
Betyder det så at Gud han så ned igennem historien og så at Kristus ville dø og så udvalgte han så ham til at være frelseren?
No, obviously it means he did that because God chose it was in his plan to do that.
Ja, det betyder at Gud han bestemte at det var sådan her det skulle være.
You know, this is the same when Peter is preaching and he says you crucified the Messiah.
Det er samme når Peter han taler og siger I har korsfæstet Messias.
According to the definite plan of God there.
I overensstemmelse med Guds plan.
You know, it was or everything was planned beforehand in that sense.
Alt var forudbestemt på den måde.
And so you have there you see you, there's nothing can thwart this plan of God. If someone's remember all those who are justified will be glorified.
Der er ingenting der kan stoppe Guds plan, og så der står så alle dem man har gjort retfærdige har han også herliggjort, står der.
Because if you're not then you if someone thinks they're justified but then is unjustified later, then they was never really justified in the first place.
Så hvis der nogen, der tror, de var retfærdiggjort på et tidspunkt, og så senere ikke er retfærdiggjort, så var de faktisk ikke retfærdiggjort til at starte med.
Do you remember when Jesus said, "None shall they shall never perish"? You know, no one will snatch them out of my hand.
Han siger et andet sted, at ingen kan gribe tage dem ud af min hånd.
Well, people say, "Well, but people can. Some can. It doesn't say you can't walk out of his hand."
Der står ikke at man ikke kan gå. Oh, just say it again.
Some people try and out when Jesus says none, they will never perish. I give them eternal life; they will never perish. None
liv,
shall
aldrig
snatch them out of my hand.
Ja, og ingen kan tage dem ud af min hånd.
Yeah. Some say, but you can walk.
Nå, men nogen siger sådan, men man kan godt gå ud af hans hånd.
Yeah. But read the verse; then they would perish.
Men læs verset, så vil de gå fortabt.
But they'd never perish.
Men de vil aldrig gå fortabt.
You know, where Paul wants us to realize in that passage I just mentioned in Romans 8.
Just say that again.
In Romans 8.
I Romerne 8.
Romans 8 to 30 to 36.
30 to 36.
Yeah. What he wants us to realize is that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
Det hans point er at der intet der kan hvor det står.
The last verse, I think. He wants us to be fully convinced of this.
Intet kan skille os fra Guds kærlighed i Kristus Jesus, vor Herre.
You see that, you know that word foreknew.
Det der
for those whom he foreknew, he predestined.
Ja, det her ord med at dem han forud havde kendt.
To know in the Bible means much more than knowing. God knows everybody.
Yeah, det betyder meget mere end at kende, for Gud han kender alle.
You remember Jesus on in Matthew 7, he warned, he will say to some at the judgment, I never knew you.
Jesus, han siger, at på domsdag vil han sige til nogen, jeg har aldrig kendt dig.
Well, of course, that doesn't mean he didn't know of them.
Det var da ikke det samme som at han ikke kendte til dem.
He knew everything about those people. He knew they was workers of iniquity.
Han vidste alt om, han vidste, at de var lovløse.
But it's in the sense of Adam knew Eve and they bore a son.
Men det er lidt på samme måde som at Adam kendte Eva og hun fik en søn.
Yeah, they were never in his love.
Again.
And never in his love, never no relationship.
I didn't get the what you follow your line. Just
The people whom he never knew.
De mennesker, yeah, som han aldrig kendte.
They were there was no relationship.
Nå, der var ikke noget forhold, fællesskab med dem. Der var ikke kærlighed der.
And notice that he didn't say I knew you once, but then you lost your salvation.
Han siger ikke, at jeg kendte jer på et tidspunkt, men så mistede I jeres frelse.
But I never knew you in the first place.
Men jeg kendte jer aldrig til at starte med.
You know, when Jesus taught the parable of the wheat and the tares.
Ja, der hvor Jesus har lignelsen om hveden og ukrudtet.
He told us there is Jesus is planting the wheat, the true converts.
Der Jesus planter hveden, det sande kristne, sande troende.
And the devil is planting the tares, the weeds.
Og djævlen planter ukrudtet.
Okay. Now they look very similar.
De ser meget ens ud.
So similar that I mean it was too difficult for them to separate.
Det var, de lignede hinanden så meget, at det var svært at se forskel og at skille det med.
But it, you know, it can come out over time.
Men det kan man se over tid.
Yeah, so there is such a thing as a false believer.
Der er sådan en ting som en falsk troende.
You know, there are many passages that warn of that.
Der er mange passager i Bibelen, der advarer mod det.
But the weeds, the tares, they're planted by the devil.
Men ukrudtet er plantet af djævlen.
You know, Jesus kept saying to Judas that they're of the devil. He's, you know, one of you is a devil.
Men han siger, at en af jer er djævlen.
Yeah, you have warnings in Scripture. You know, 1 John 2:19.
Kapitel 2.
They went out from us, and they were never of us.
Yes.
Yeah. But if they were of us, they would have continued with us.
Yeah. Finally, stood.
Yeah. You see,
what verse was it?
1 John 2:19. I've got the right verse there.
Yeah, for der står her i 1. Johannes 2:19, for de er udgået for os, er de udgået, men de var ikke af vore, for hvis de var, havde været af vore, ville de være blevet hos os, men det er sket for at det skulle blive klart, at ingen af dem er af vore.
Yeah, if you know, if they were of us, they went out from us, that it might be made known to all that they were never of us.
Og så kan det så kendes til sidst, at de var ikke.
Yeah, you see, that tells us that if someone is true, they would stay with us.
Så det betyder altså i den her sammenhæng, at hvis de virkelig var sande, så ville de forblive hos dem.
But if they fall away, they were never truly saved in the first place.
Men hvis det var, hvis de var sandt omvendt, så ville de ikke falde fra.
So my point here is that there are a number of passages.
Og hvis de falder fra, så viser jeg, at de ikke var sande kristne til at starte med.
That point to that clearly tells us, you know, if someone is truly saved, they're going to make it to the end.
Så derfor så dem der er i sandhed frelst, de vil også klare det til enden.
And there's also such the Bible also warns of a dead faith that can be similar for a while.
Bibelen advarer også om en død tro, som kan ligne det, den rigtige tro for en tid.
Like the rocky ground hearer, you know, believes with joy, has an experience there for a while.
For eksempel den troen der med hvor så sæden, Guds ord bliver sået på klippegrund, og der er en glæde der for et stykke tid, men så falder man fra.
But then withers away. So what do you do with this Hebrews 6?
Så hvad gør vi så her med Hebræerne 6?
And Hebrews 10 is another passage. Hebrews 6 is what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
I'm just explaining it says basically the same thing in 10.
Og det siger, det er næsten det samme i Hebræerne 10.
Verse 4, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame.
Ja, så der læs Kevin til de vers vi startede med at læse.
Ja. What do you do with that? I mean, at first glance, if you took that in isolation, it would sound like someone could fall away.
Ja, hvis vi kigger på det her isoleret set, så ligner det jo virkelig, at man kan falde fra.
But you have to ignore a whole lot of scripture to have that interpretation.
Men så er vi nødt til at ignorere en hel masse andet af skriften for at have den fortolkning.
Ja. Yeah. What does it say here? They were enlightened.
De, hvad er det, der står her? De har smagt Guds gode ord.
Yeah, it never says they were regenerate.
Der står aldrig, at de var genfødte.
Yeah, it never says it just they came to an understanding of God's word.
De kom til en eller anden forståelse af Guds ord.
Someone can understand things in the Bible and not be saved.
Der er mange, der kan få en forståelse af Guds ord uden at blive frelst. I'll just say this, Kevin. In the Danish, it says in a very strong language that they have been given the Holy Spirit.
Right, that's not correct.
Kan jeg bare lige tilføje her, at
it doesn't say that anywhere else in the world. Yeah.
Ja, men, okay. Men det er faktisk vigtigt ikke holde på sin egen.
Yeah, we're not up to that bit anyway.
Yeah.
Partakers of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Men det er vigtigt, at vi sammenligner med bibeloversættelser andre steder og så det er måske noget, vi kan gå videre med i et privat studie.
Yeah.
Men just continue.
Okay. What does this mean? That they have tasted the heavenly gift.
Men de har smagt den himmelske gave.
The heavenly gift, the gospel there.
Det er evangeliet der.
Yeah, they had a taste of it. What does this mean? They've been partakers with the Holy Spirit.
Hvad betyder så det her med, at de har smagt, de har fået Helligånden?
Well, it doesn't say they had the Holy Spirit in them.
Det står ikke, at de havde Helligånden i dem.
If you think of Saul in the Old Testament,
hvis du tænker på Saul i det gamle testamente,
you know he was prophesying.
Han er profeteret.
They say it. Is he one of the prophets? If you think of Caiaphas the high priest,
hvis du tænker på Caiaphas, ypperste præsten,
it said he prophesied.
Ja, der står han profeteret.
And he gave a true prophecy from God.
Og han gav en sand profeti fra Gud.
He wasn't regenerate.
Men han var ikke genfødt.
He went to put Christ to death.
Han gik fortsat med at få Kristus henrettet.
You have those in Matthew 7 doing many miracles in his name.
Og I har også der i Matthæus 7 med mange der gør mirakler i hans navn.
Yeah, there's no mention of those things being demonic.
Der er ikke nogen tale om at de ting er dæmoniske.
Do you remember Balaam in the Old Testament?
For eksempel Bilam.
He was prophesying from God.
Han profeterede også fra Gud.
You know, I say this to people, speaking in tongues, even if it's real.
Selv det at tale rigtigt i tunger.
Doesn't prove anything other than that they can speak in tongues.
Det beviser ikke andet end de kan tale tunger.
Doesn't prove they're saved.
Det beviser ikke at de er frelst.
Or even a true prophecy there.
Eller selv hvis det skulle være en sand profeti.
Yeah, so you can you think of Judas did miracles.
For eksempel Judas, han gjorde også mirakler.
It's clear Judas was never saved.
Og det er helt tydeligt, at Judas var aldrig frelst.
Jesus made it quite clear, you are not all clean.
Det gjorde Jesus meget klart, I ikke alle rene, sagde han.
One of you is a devil.
En af jer er en djævel.
Remember when Jesus sent out the 70?
Prøv at huske på det, hvor Jesus
sent out the 12.
Jesus udsendte de 12.
And there was healing, casting out demons and so forth.
Der var helbredelse og de kastede dæmoner ud.
Well, obviously Judas was healing people.
Så Judas han helbredte også mennesker.
Because when there was at the Last Supper and Jesus said, "One of you has betrayed me."
Der ved Herrens måltid den sidste, ja, der. Then what? Sorry.
That one of you has betrayed me.
Ja, en af jer har forrådt mig.
Yeah, they didn't all point to Judas and say it's him. I knew there was something strange about that guy.
De pegede ikke alle sammen over på Judas og sagde det er ham, og vi synes nok, at han var mærkelig.
But they said, "Is it I, Lord?"
Men de sagde, "Er det mig, herre?"
Yeah, so even doing miracle by the Holy Spirit doesn't even mean someone's saved.
Så selv hvis man gør mirakler ved Helligånden, så er det ikke det samme som man er frelst.
Yeah, what is, you know, they have tasted the good word of God.
De har smagt Guds gode ord.
I don't agree with John Owen's interpretation of this.
Yeah, her der er jeg ikke enig med John Owens fortolkning af det.
He said they've only tasted it, but they haven't digested it.
Han siger, de har kun smagt det, de har ikke fordøjet det.
But the problem with that, if you read on in Hebrews, it says Christ tasted death for every man.
Men hvis vi fortsætter i Hebræerne, så står der, at Kristus han har smagt døden for alle.
Does that mean he didn't die fully for us?
Betyder så han ikke døde fuldt for os?
But all this means is they had some experience of the Word of God.
Men det her det betyder, at de havde nogle oplevelser og der skete et eller andet, da de hørte Guds ord.
You see what is the powers of the age to come? They saw reality.
De har set noget der var virkeligt.
Well, what is the context of Hebrews?
Hvad er Hebræerbrevets sammenhæng kontekst?
You have Judaizers coming in saying you've got to do works to keep yourself saved.
Der kom judaister ind, som sagde, I skal gøre gerninger for at blive frelst.
They're saying Christ is not enough. You've got to go back to law keeping.
Så de sagde, at Kristus er ikke nok. Du er nødt til at gå tilbage til at gøre gerninger.
Yeah, which ironically, a lot of people who kind of argue against it, they do the same, pretty much the same thing.
Og selv nogen, der argumenterer imod det, de gør selv det samme.
Saying Christ is not enough. You've got to keep yourself saved by your own works.
Men Kristus er ikke nok. I er nødt til at holde dig selv frelst ved at gøre gerninger.
But Paul's basically saying here, you know, I don't have another gospel for you.
Men Paulsen siger faktisk, at jeg har ikke et andet evangelium.
You know, if you go back, he's telling them that, you know, Christ is better than the law. You know, don't go back.
Kristus er bedre end loven. I skal ikke gå tilbage.
You know, you stand in there.
Du står der.
There are basically, this I believe is the same as what is called the unpardonable sin.
Det her, der står beskrevet her, det er den synd, der ikke er tilgivelse for.
The unpardonable. Remember, Jesus said there's a type of sin that could not be forgiven in this life or the world to come.
Der er en synd, der ikke er tilgivelse for.
Yeah. He warns of that. We have the sin unto death in 1 John.
I 1. Johannes brev, der står der også, man kan synde til døden.
And Hebrews 10, I believe it's all talking about the same thing here.
Ifølge min opfattelse, så er det samme, der bliver talt om her.
And if you look at the parallels between these things.
Prøv at se på parallellen mellem de her ting.
Yeah. Remember that in the Gospels it was the Pharisees.
I evangeliet der var det farisæerne.
They had such a revelation of the reality of Christ there and that he was from God.
Ja, de havde virkelig set at Kristus var fra Gud, at Jesus var fra Gud.
And they rejected it, they suppressed it.
Og de fornægtede det, de undertrykte den sandhed.
And then they got to a place where God never bothered them again.
Og så kom de til et sted, hvor det er, at Gud han ikke ville have noget med dem at gøre. Er det rigtigt oversat?
Yeah, you know, that's what apostasy is. If you think of Cain.
Det frafald er. Prøv at tænk på Cain.
Cain, the first apostate, he goes out from the presence of God.
Cain går væk fra Herrens nærhed.
He goes to a place where God will never bother him again.
Han går et sted hen, hvor Gud han ikke vil genere ham mere.
You see, it's a sin against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of sin.
Det er jo Helligånden, der overbeviser os om synd. Så det er synd mod Helligånden.
Someone suppresses, and then they go away, and God never convicts them again.
Så de undertrykker den her anfægtelse og den her overbevisning om synd så mange gange i sådan grad, at til sidst så overbeviser Gud dem ikke om synd længere.
And you see the same thing here, except these are not Pharisees, they're professing Christians, but again, they've heard the truth, but they go back.
Så det er lidt det samme her, at de har hørt sandheden, men de går tilbage.
You know, they've seen enough reality.
De har set nok sandhed, men de går tilbage.
So what does this look like?
Så hvad ligner det så?
Well, that, you know, there are times when someone, they come under the gospel, they hear the true gospel.
Der er mange, der kommer under evangeliets forkyndelse og hører et sandt evangelium.
And they see reality, enough reality around them.
De ser masser af virkelighed omkring det.
But they suppress it, and eventually they maybe they go to a Catholic church, become an atheist or whatever.
Så kan det være, at de ender med at gå i en katolsk kirke eller blive ateist eller et eller andet.
Or maybe they fall into some sin, go back to the world.
Eller måske bare en eller anden synd, og så ender de tilbage i verden.
And then you come and warn them, and there's no conviction whatsoever.
Så kommer du og advarer dem, og der er ingen overbevisning om synd overhovedet.
That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Og det er og synd imod Helligånden.
They've got to a place where God never bothers them again.
Så de kommer til et sted, hvor Gud han vil ikke genere dem igen.
Yeah, and these are really what these warnings are against here.
Så det er faktisk det, som de her advarsler er imod.
Of course, as I always say, people who are worried if they've committed this.
Der er nogen, der har bekymret for, om de her skulle have begået den her synd.
If they're worried, it's a sign they've not.
Hvis de er bekymret, så er det et godt tegn på, at de ikke har gjort det.
Because if you think of it, if you think of those in the Gospels when Jesus was accusing the Pharisees.
Prøv at tænke på dem i evangelien, hvor farisæerne.
They wasn't worried that, oh, I've committed this, was they?
Har jeg syndet sådan her?
They were laughing and mocking.
De grinede bare og hånede.
You know, but this we've seen this. You know, sometimes people they'll come to the truth, they'll see so much reality, and then they'll go out into whatever falsehood. And you, no correction can do. They just laugh at you.
Ja, så vi har oplevet det her. Nogle kommer og hører evangeliet, og det ender med, at de falder fra. Og hvis du kommer og snakker med dem, så lige med hvad der sker, så vil de ikke høre på det.
You see, there is such a truth of human responsibility in the Bible.
Der er faktisk sådan en sandhed, der hedder menneskets ansvar.
And God warns us.
Og Gud advarer os.
You see, the warning here in Hebrews 6 is not, oh, I've got to work my way now to get saved.
Den advarsel her, den skal ikke ledes til at sige, oh, nu skal jeg arbejde på at holde mig selv frelst.
No, the warning here is, whoa, stop trying to stand on your works. You need to stand on Christ, otherwise you're going to fall away.
Ja, det advarsel her, det er egentlig hold op med at stole på dine gerninger, men at stole på Kristus.
Yeah. You know, one thing I could have said in the message I preached earlier.
Det er en ting, jeg kunne have sagt før, da jeg prædikede.
You know, people say, well, if you preach about the once saved, always saved, then people will just use that as a license to sin.
Ja, hvis du prædiker om det her med en gang frelst, altid frelst, så vil folk bare misbruge det til at synde.
But that's not true, because those verses, like I just read in Romans 8, 28-30, they're only for those who love God.
Men de vers der i Rombrevet 8, 28-30, det er kun for dem, der elsker Gud.
So, the person who hears this truth and thinks, great, if I'm saved forever, then I can just go and enjoy my sin.
Så dem der læser de vers og hører et evangelium, hvor at man bare er frelst for evigt, og så tænker, at jeg kan bare gå ud og nyde min synd.
Well, that person doesn't love God, do they?
Så den person elsker ikke Gud, vel?
So that those verses don't apply to them.
Så de vers, de har ingen referencer til dem.
You see, we need not worry about teaching grace.
Så vi skal ikke være bange for at undervise nåden.
Because what grace does, you know, Paul says in Romans 6:14.
I Romerne 6:14.
That for sin shall not have dominion over you. The reason.
Der står at synd skal ikke herske over jer.
Yeah, the reason sin will not dominate the Christian.
Synd skal ikke dominere den kristne.
Is because we're not under law but under grace.
Det er fordi vi ikke under loven, vi under nåden.
It doesn't say the reason sin will not have dominion over Christian because you're still under law.
Det står ikke, at grunden til, at synden ikke skal være herre over kristne, er fordi I er under loven.
But you're under grace. Think of that.
Men I er under
grace.
Nåden. Tænk på noget.
Grace is unmerited favor.
Nåden er en ufortjent begunstigelse.
It's God giving us favor that we don't deserve.
Det er Gud, der giver os noget, vi ikke fortjener.
Well, if you could do something to undeserve it, then it wouldn't be grace.
Hvis du kunne gøre noget, som gjorde, at det var ufortjent,
you know,
så ville det ikke være noget.
A believer could fall pretty bad. David did.
Ja, og David, han faldt ret slemt.
Ja.
Ja. Are we rounding up and maybe...